Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library Podcast, episode 15, where we discuss first season of 24 Legacy. First episode of 24 Legacy?
That's correct.
I think both.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the first episode. Anyway, sitting to my right is...
Max.
Sitting to my left...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting to his left...
Robert Kitts.
And I am Chris Lorenz. Now, this episode was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Overall thoughts?
Strong comeback.
I'm just amazed we're back after all this time.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see another 24 property on TV, because who would make a 24 show without Kiefer Sutherland? Like, when I heard about this, that's what I was thinking for sure.
Didn't we put up a bunch of ideas for how to continue 24?
I mean, maybe, but...
I mean, we were the people, if you go back and listen to the last episode.
Should we take a quick listening break?
For what?
To go back and hear what our thoughts were.
Maybe not. Okay. I'm not going to go and do that editing at this point.
You didn't already go and re-listen to all the episodes, Max?
You're right. I'm playing. I played myself. Okay, let's get to talking about the show.
Well, hold on. One more thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
This week, we don't have a drink of the week this week.
Oh, you're right. We totally messed up.
We definitely messed up.
Well, now we've seen what the show is like, so we can figure out a good drink for next week.
Yeah, maybe, next week we can have a drink based on this first episode.
Our drink of the week this week is sobriety.
Thank you, Max.
The most unexpected plot twist of all.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff happening in this show. Like, there's so many plot lines that they've introduced this week.
There's a lot of threads.
That's how 24 always works, right? It's always the first episode they lay out all the different plot lines, and you just watch how they bring them together all season, right?
There's just so many new characters, because there's returning characters.
Definitely a lot of ramp up.
We got a shout out to a previous character.
To Edgar Styles. Like, it's crazy, the first reference back to anything that's happened in a previous 24 season is this one C2 analyst that died from nerve gas being pumped into CTU named Edgar Styles. And one of the analysts in this one, there's like, oh yeah, Edgar's my cousin. That means I'm going to be a great analyst.
Because it worked out so well for Edgar.
Yeah. Hey, Edgar was a hell of an analyst, but
was
he
was a hell of an analyst.
You know,
well,
caught out.
To be fair, CTU is like a 24 thing. It's not like a... I feel like that might have been the first reference to the previous 24.
I guess. And the blue clock, I guess.
Max, tell us your thoughts on the new font for the clock.
Okay. So the first time the clock goes on, where it goes beep, boop, beep, boop, same font, different color, not yellow, blue now. I am not a fan. It's an unnecessary break with the old show.
I just think that they need a little bit of something to make it different. I don't know. Like,
maybe you could change the Blu-rays so they're not like yellow. They can be like more of a blue color. I don't know.
that's way down the line.
I don't know what else.
It's
fine.
What do you think that bonus content's gonna be like on the 24 Legacy Blu-ray set?
I mean, that 24 Live Another Day, or I don't know.
Live Another Day. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just clarifying that again. That Blu-ray, Tony Almeida. That's all we
know. No Tony Almeida in the first episode of this, though.
So Tony Almeida is supposed to be coming in 24 Legacy. I'm not surprised it was in the first episode, because I'm sure this was a pilot that they filmed like months and months before they even knew they were going to have an actual series. So I'm sure they when they wrote the rest of the first season, they're like,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, I guess that's fair, but we also just came off of watching the Super Bowl, and there were about 100 24 Legacy commercials, and they're all like, Carlos Bernard! And they're definitely hyping up Tony Almeida a little bit.
Well, the Super Bowl, they want to take the long view. They're not
sure.
Trying to get you to watch the one episode.
That's fair.
I mean, they are trying to hook you with that one episode.
That's true.
Do you think that it was a two-hour pilot they shot, or a one-hour pilot?
I think it was a one-hour pilot.
So, like, the episode tomorrow, we'll see Tony.
Not necessarily, but there's a better chance tomorrow.
Speaking of...
One last thing on the clock.
Yeah.
What if they, instead of changing the font to mix it up, they changed it to an analog clock?
What if they changed it to 24 hour instead of 12?
24 hour time?
Yeah. Like, or wait, is it? Or does it have AM, PM? I don't actually know.
It definitely has AM PM.
It does? Are you sure that the clock has AM PM on it?
Well, it doesn't have AM PM on it, but it doesn't go to like 1300.
No, yeah, it's definitely not a 24-hour clock.
In retrospect, that would have been really fun for the London season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that would have been great, the right? London season, if right? it actually was like that.
Oh, well.
Maybe they could have done like one of those fancy clocks that like spells it out in like different locations. just so you can see like 237 and it would roll to 238. You know, you're throwing it out there. But I like the clock. I like that they changed it a little bit. I feel like maybe a different color would have been better, like red. Just to be like, I want...
a little intense.
I want it to be intense. 24 sure. is an intense show.
Speaking of clocks and time running out, how about that Super Bowl?
We don't want to talk
about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
This is why people tune to the DPPL for hot Super Bowl takes.
Oh, yeah.
That really doesn't date us at all.
Not at all.
Talking about the Super Bowl.
So, a lot of new characters. How are people feeling about some of these new characters on 24 Legacy?
Let's start with Eric, our new main character.
Okay.
He's a mole.
Eric's the mole?
We got to start our mole hunt early.
There are definitely some people on Mole Walsh already.
Yeah. Definitely. Eric's... I don't know what to say, but he's okay. He's not amazing. Neither was Jack Bauer when he started, so.
I like him. You know, seems to be very well put together. Solid guy.
He was great in Straight Outta Compton. I really, really enjoyed him in that movie. Yeah.
I was tempted, talking about the character.
I was tempted to call him Dr. Dre for the duration of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I remember who it was. I said to someone, yeah. Dr. Dre is the star of the new 24, and they thought I meant that the actual Dr. Dre was going to be in 24.
That'd be an insane show.
I thought about that for a second when you said that while we were watching. I'm like, no, that's not. I haven't seen Straight Outta Compton, so I didn't know he played Dr. Dre.
This is the thing. Here's my feeling on Eric. It's like they're giving him all the kind of super sincere, intense Jack Bauer lines, and I'm not like... That's a very difficult thing to pull off, that Kiefer could pull it off. I'm not sure Dr. Dre can pull it off.
That's fair.
There's definitely something, like, I can't remember the line right now, but there's definitely a one-liner in there that he said, like, ooh, yeah, that totally sounds like something they would have written for Kiefer.
The one that stuck for me was his wife asked him, why do you have to do this? He's like, because I'm the only one I can trust.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was totally that one.
Yeah, he overacted that.
Yeah, like that, but that's a tough thing to pull off. If you're gonna write lines like that,
definitely.
Kiefer could do it, and like I don't know. I feel like my overall feeling was like, do you want the show to be how the same should the show be, and how different should the show be? And I'm worried they're making it too the same. Like, did we really need CTU still in our lives? Like, I feel there's a lot of different ways you could go with like, a real time show.
What is so? You like the idea of it being a real-time show, but maybe it's not around terrorism prevention.
Right.
Okay.
What is it around?
So, I don't know exactly. I remember years ago, I was like, they should do a season 24 where Jack Bauer fights zombies. And this was before The Walking Dead
became
a big thing. Now it would be like everything's zombies, so that's not a good idea anymore.
But right, yeah. That would have been crazy.
Maybe you could do like a Dracula thing where like... you have Alucard going to kill Dracula, and he only has like 24 hours to do it. And he's got to go through this castle. It'd be like, it's definitely a way different tone, but like,
that's doing a way different.
But it's like
tone.
A real time, adds like a distinct thing that like most, you wouldn't see a Dracula implementation of that, like ever. So something on that vein, I don't know if you want to go zombies is where I went.
So what was his kill count in this episode? Was it five?
It was single digits for sure.
I think it was five.
Yeah.
But like I remember with Live Another Day, Jack actually wasn't killing that many people. And we were kind of like, wait, he didn't actually kill anybody several times.
Didn't it start kind of ramping up towards the end of that season?
Oh, he really ramped up.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, the last episode was the
he
katana.
Killed like 100 people.
Oh, yeah. Insane. Okay.
All right. So we got Eric's wife. I don't want to remember what her name was. What are the thoughts on her?
She seemed fine. Like the fact that she wasn't super annoying, I'm going to call a big win.
Yeah.
She actually did something. You know, that's usually...
She shot someone. Killing it.
I'm definitely hoping that she does something and that she doesn't kind of slot into that hostage role as like that person who just gets the leverage over the main character all the time.
My hope is that them having her do something so early on is sort of signaling that they don't intend to do that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, I feel like you'd be a little more freaked out if you murdered somebody.
She was
she was like, at some point she was like really freaked out, and at some point she was just like normal.
It
was
she moved on from like the encounter with terrorists that they murdered in their home to like, I just don't think that he's been the same since he's been home from the war, like really quickly. Like, you think that if that shit happened to you, you'd just be talking, you'd be like, man, you're not like, these guys came in here and I went up in the attic and then like I heard some stuff going on, so I busted down and opened up the safe and shot all these people.
Yeah.
Like, you think you'd be talking about that more than like, I just doesn't seem like he's the same since he got back from the war, guys, you know?
Yeah.
Not to mention she was almost shot because like she turned her back and there was some guy coming through the door. Like,
she was real good in the house. Like, she caused the distraction. She got the gun out. Like, she did a lot of good stuff. But like, they definitely, as the episode was going on, were steering her more towards a less interesting direction.
I definitely think the whole like brother situation is probably the least interesting thread of the show so far.
I actually disagree with you there.
Okay.
I actually think that situation has potential to be the most interesting. Because it's like, the way that I maybe see this situation developing is like, you get like one of those drug gangster crews from like The Wire, and now they're in there helping with this terrorism hunt or fight. And like, I feel like you could get something interesting in going in there.
That's definitely happening. That's definitely happening. Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it could be interesting. It's definitely like a little bit of a different, like, it's not really something that the show has like looked at before.
Sure.
I think it's interesting. I don't know.
So how nuts is it that Eric's wife used to date Eric's brother, who's a serious drug dealer?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, they both work together. So Eric used to be with the drug gang.
Yes, that's true.
And so, then he went to the military to try and make a better life for him.
So is it
wife.
More common in drug dealing circles that, you know, your brother's just, you know, what girls go from one brother to the other brother?
Well, maybe.
I feel like I've heard of that in media before.
Mm. Oh, man.
In some sort of TV or...
That something. Was the most vague.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's not a completely unheard of thing. I don't know anybody in real life who would ever do that, but...
Oh, fair enough.
I'm sure it happens.
Yeah.
Okay, how about our new head of CTU? Or former head of CTU at this point.
Former head of CTU seems to be the...
Well, she's going back to be the acting head of CTU real quick.
Yep, that's real quick in there.
So, did anyone get her name?
Oh, boy.
Maybe we should pull up some IMDb on this thing.
It's fine.
Anyone who saw the episode knows who we're talking about.
Yeah.
So she's the wife of a senator who's running for president.
Correct.
And she's also the former head of CTU.
Also correct.
And she got a medal for the
killing Sheikh bin Khalid.
And like,
oh, thank you.
The way that they talk about it, they kind of talk about it like it's this sort of bin Laden situation. Like, you know, when she was like, okay, like, you know, I told him that I have to put like everything else in my life on hold until we find this guy, and then like we can do whatever he needs to do. So like, definitely feels like this kind of bin Laden hunt situation that's kind of coming back around on him.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Rebecca Ingram.
Rebecca Ingram.
Yeah, I don't know if I like her that much. When she was dealing with, she was in CTU and trying to deal with this problem, she was like not being very helpful, I thought. Like, there's clearly a mole hunt somewhere. Mole watch.
Yeah, they went in the mole hunt like real hard right away, which I respect. You know the mole's coming, so just be right up front like, yeah, it's happening. So Eric and his crew of rangers were all given like different identities, but now they've been found out by the terrorist network, and so someone who had clearance must have given them up. And so one of those people is the new head of CTU, and so Rebecca's working to freeze him out already because she doesn't know if she can trust him. And it was implied she kind of thought he was an idiot anyway, even though she apparently also picked him to be the new head of CTU.
Yeah,
that was pretty weird.
There's a weird dynamic going on there because she was yelled at him for replacing a tech, but she picked him. So like, it's not like she can control him afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, like... it seems like it's kind of, it's showing that she kind of second guesses him a little bit, but I mean, she did pick the guy.
Maybe it was just best of what was there.
I guess we don't really know the circumstances around how the guy got picked.
She definitely seems like kind of a crazy control freak kind of person.
Maybe we need to watch the Samsung Gear VR prequel to figure out how that guy got picked.
I definitely want to check that out.
Thanks. I hope they're sponsoring our podcast.
Samsung, if you want to throw a few bucks our way, let me know.
Would they throw us a few bucks, or would they just give us a Gear VR so we could actually watch that?
That'd be okay, too.
No one has a Samsung phone here,
We
would talk about the VR experience on this podcast if we had a Gear VR and a phone, I think.
Maybe that's its own episode.
I guess we have to refrain from talking about phones blowing up if they're actually sponsoring us.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, man, you're blowing up this sponsorship deal.
I'm blowing up the sponsorship.
Yet. Oh, my God.
I mean, I have other VR headsets, so maybe it'll be available somewhere else. I don't know if it's exclusive.
Maybe. Samsung. Mayhaps.
Okay. Do we want to talk about the tech that gets involved?
I want to talk about Senator Organa.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us, Max.
Tell us.
Rebecca Ingram is married to Senator Organa. He's playing a senator.
Jimmy Smits.
Yeah, Jimmy Smits. Also in A Bad Season of Dexter. And that's about it.
All right. Thanks for the IMDb update.
He plays a senator in Star Wars who is Princess Leia's dad.
Yes.
Which is what Max is referring to.
Oh, I didn't get that at all.
Senator...
That's why I had to explain it.
Oh my God.
I just assumed everyone knows his weird references.
Maybe it's just like a bonus. If you get it, you get it.
Also, to be fair, Jimmy Smith's been a lot of stuff. He was in like some seasons of The West Wing. He was on NYPD Blue for a long time.
Ooh, yeah.
Real pro.
Yeah, he's on my mole watch, 100%.
Oh, for sure.
He's my forerunner right now.
Oh, he's your frontrunner. Interesting. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, okay. So who else is on your mole watch? So we got...
Aisha.
Jimmy Smits. We got Aisha, who... A different kind of mole, but she's probably ratting to somebody.
No doubt.
I got a reverse mole.
Okay.
Explain.
So at the end, towards the end of the episode, they introduced that high school.
We haven't even talked
about high school. Oh, high school.
So we got the girl that's texting terrorist thoughts to somebody. Why you would text that? I don't know.
Okay.
And then the Kim Bauer-esque character that found out and told a teacher, but then we find out later that the teacher was the person that she was texting.
Can we? Okay.
There's much going on.
I just want to finish my statement. I think she is a reverse mole, the girl.
Okay.
She works for the government and is trying to weed out the terrorists.
They're trying to catfish the teacher.
Yeah.
Say there's some kind of a terrorist inside the high school that she is an undercover agent trying to uncover.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a big statement right there.
Yeah.
Which
it's a
country?
Crazy theory. I like it.
I would
which
love.
Which country is she supposed to be from?
Chechnya.
Chechnya? Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand. So is the teacher also from Chechnya?
No.
Like, how is this?
We got to talk dynamic? Through the, we got to talk through the situation a little bit because, so, okay. So, so this one high school student is like, hey, I saw this girl has a bunch of terrorist looking text messages on her phone.
Do we really need to go over the plot again?
We do need to go over it right now. We have to go over this part.
I just said the plot.
Let Harrison go over the plot.
I'm trying to unpack this thing. Okay. So then explains it to the teacher, and the teacher's like, we got to tell the principal about this because you talked about these terrorist things. And they meet in the library later, and then the teacher goes to the girl's like, oh, shit, this guy knows about the texts. Oh, shit. Okay. So my question is, like, is she actually like a terrorist, or is he just mistaking these texts for this sexual relationship between this high school teacher and this girl?
No, the guy specifically called out an attack.
Yeah,
did he?
The teacher.
And there's the brother.
Okay.
Brother?
So, oh, he's the brother. Okay.
No, he's not the brother.
He's not
there's
the brother.
There's a third party to their high school terrorist plan, which is her brother. And so both the Kim Bauer guy, who we're hoping is going to die in a terrorist attack, and the teacher both make reference to the fact that her and her brother are talking about terrorism stuff.
Okay.
And it seems like the teacher is scared of the brother.
Okay. That makes
a
little more sense.
And the teacher is banging
because
the girl, right?
It seems like.
She kissed him.
With the way that that whole thing was rolling out, it seemed like it was kind of going in the direction of like, oh, it's actually just this weird student-teacher sexual relationship, just this misunderstanding about this terrorist situation. But it seems like it's just both, maybe.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Just both?
So maybe the dynamic is the brother is like the main terrorist.
Yes.
And like is blackmailing the teacher, or is like getting the teacher, like the teacher's involved with the girl, so then he's involved. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's unclear if the teacher actually wants to do terrorism or if he just wants to bang the girl, and now they've kind of got him in a blackmail situation.
Yeah.
Or maybe he does want to do terrorism.
I mean, he might. And then both, the whole thing. Like,
he seems pretty on board.
His motivations are still a bit unclear at this point.
Sure.
And then she implies at the end that basically if she can't convince that dude who is snitching to stop talking to people about it, then they're going to have to get him.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe she'll seduce him, too.
I'm really interested to see where this high school situation goes.
Yeah, the high school thing was sort of just was very kind of out of the blue and for now unconnected to everything else. Yeah. Though I'm sure, you know, Tony will pop up in the high school and then it'll all...
Tony's a substitute math teacher.
I mean, it reminded me a lot...
Slash undercover agent.
It'd be so great if that teacher went into the break room at the school and Tony's just like poured himself a coffee.
He's
like,
just
hey.
In the background, just sipping on a coffee, just pouring it in the back of the scene. Oh, man.
This reminded me a lot of season one, where, like, there's just, like, interconnected plots that they don't interconnect till way later, and they just get interjected into an episode, and you have to wait to see what happens, because it's, like, not involved with anything else that's going on, whereas each other plot line, at least in this episode, is, like, connected.
Yeah. Most of the plot lines in this one were pretty connected, except for the high school.
Maybe they are one of the sleeper cells just waiting to be woken up.
Oh,
ooh,
that could be.
That's probable.
I really want to say I spent the last like 5 minutes just thinking about how much like 21 Jump Street CTU sounds great.
Oh, yeah. That does sound great.
We got to get Channing Tatum in 24 Legacy.
Oh, my God. I would watch 24 Channing Tatum. That'd be awesome.
That could be not the next sequel, the following sequel, 24 Jump Street.
Sure. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Some sort of crossover there.
Sorry, I'm going real off to the side.
Yeah, you are.
This is a real and true fact. They're making a 21 Jump Street Men in Black crossover.
Are they really?
What?
Yes. And
is Will Smith involved? It might have fallen apart from what I could tell.
At some point, they were talking about this.
It's definitely got further than Max just saying.
Who's the fat kid? Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think you could say that.
Jonah Hill called it hip and cool and fresh in a leaked Sony email.
Wow. Mm.
All right, let's bring it back to 24.
If Jonah Hill says that, then it's got to be true.
All right.
Let's go back to our mole watch.
Sure.
So we've got Senator Organa. We've got Aisha on a different level. We've got potential reverse mole Russian girl. I think we got to put Rebecca on the mole watch.
Rebecca.
Oh, she is making some big moves.
She's doing a lot of moves.
Yeah.
And then there's the guy the guy that is like clearly most implicated on the mole watch, the current head of CTU that Rebecca just tased and took out.
He's obviously not the mole.
That's what I was going to say. Like, is he on the mole watch or is he clearly not on the mole watch?
I think he's low probability.
I think you have to put him on there as an honorary member of the mole watch because the show wants you to think about him as the mole, but I don't think he's going to
I don't think he's the mole either.
Because they just wouldn't give it up in like the first 10 minutes of the show like that.
Here's the thing. What if they're playing mind games with us? Like,
what if it actually is him?
Like, they reveal that he is a mole, like episode 7 or 8. When you're like pretty sure he's not the mole already.
But like that's the thing, like season one, they tell us Nina's a mole like in the second or third episode.
Sure.
She gets cleared. And then at the end of the season, they're like, oh, actually, she's the second mole.
Right. That was a big time one.
So the other people on the mole watch are the techs at CTU. Like there's the two we've met. One is cousin Edgar. One is that other guy with glasses.
I think
like,
that cousin Edgar seems too naive of the situation to like be the mole. Just like just the way that person seems carrying herself. You know,
I mean, she was new, like putting the timeline together could be
maybe.
But I wouldn't put her on the mole watch yet.
Not yet.
The senator is top on the mole watch right now.
I just refuse to believe that anyone who's related to Edgar Stiles by blood would be a mole. So
by blood.
By blood.
I mean, we haven't talked about one character yet, though. Ben.
Oh, Ben, we have not talked about Ben,
which is like half the episode is dealing with Ben.
Tell us a little bit more about Ben.
I don't know. I'm not good enough to tell the story, so maybe Harris should do it.
Harrison, tell us about Ben.
I think you can tell a story about Ben. It's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You got it, Chris.
You got it. I was trying to explain the teacher-student sexual tension in the other one.
Well, you could have mentioned it. Anyway, okay. So Ben is one of the six Rangers that is super paranoid because he actually did steal something from the compound, which would obviously make you more paranoid. And he alerts Eric to the fact that they're after him and actually saves his life, most likely. But Ben goes around trying to... gets the lockbox that he stole during the raid. He hid it somewhere. And then he was going to catch a bus with his wife and mother?
Sister. I'm pretty sure it's sister because he seems too lonerish to have a wife.
Yeah.
And he's like, you and mom.
He's also like homeless doing drugs.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Yep. I don't know if how alleged it is.
Well, the sister and mom, whoever that woman is and the mom, are dead anyway. So
I mean, like, they kept on talking about him doing drugs, and they showed some shots of his like arms looked like they had a bunch of like,
okay,
right, so like pretty torn up. Yeah, I don't know.
So at some point, he calls his sister and tells her where he was going, and then the terrorists find out and murder them, and then CTU finds out where he was and tracks him down and tells Eric where Ben is. Eric gets there. There's a nice shootout. There's some really great CG battle action going on.
No, wait, time out. Max, tell us a little bit about the CG.
Man, where do I start?
It was great. I don't know what you're talking about.
Basically, they couldn't correctly render literally a cylinder.
I feel like...
It was really like the dust, the
particle effects,
like,
sure.
Particle stuff.
I feel like bad CGI has kind of been a hallmark of the 24 series.
It's true.
Like,
it's fine. I don't really have a problem with it. And then Eric ends up killing them. I guess at some point we find out that in the lockbox that there's just a bunch of money and a USB drive that had a bunch of names and numbers on it. And during this firefight, Ben steals the USB key and runs away. And that's the end of the episode. I don't know if I missed anything.
And Ben apparently wants money. Ben, who's super paranoid about the government and fears for his life, is now taking this terrorist list that people are looking for with him so he can ransom it. Seems very out of character.
He believes he is owed.
He does believe he is owed.
I'm owed.
So he thinks he's... somebody should have told him, like, his mom is dead. He's not going to sell it to those terrorists now.
So it sounds like he's just going to try and play the terrorists off of the government, some kind of bidding war on this terrorist list, which is a bold move.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
Let's see how it turns out.
Real bad. I don't like that thread.
What episode does Ben die?
Three.
Two?
I bet that, I bet basically what happens is he tries to set up some kind of meet with the terrorists, and he tries to make a deal for this thing, and then Eric, like, finds out about it, and then he comes up to try and save him and deal with it, but then the other dude gets shot, but he recovers the USB key, and, like, I bet that's literally exactly what happens.
I mean, maybe, here's what happens. Ben gets in contact with the terrorists, gives them the number to the high school sleeper cell as a... I have the numbers here. See, it works.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's how the high school gets involved.
That could be.
After that, I don't know. He's probably going to die. I don't have any predictions after that. Because, yeah. I mean, the high school's got to get involved somehow. And it's probably not going to be CTU just going in and busting them. Right.
Yeah, probably right. Not.
That'd be amazing. They set up the high school and then just like in a random episode, just like CTU just busts in and arrests them and be like, oh, that's done.
That would be great.
I would love that.
I don't know. I don't want to waste any time on that.
CTU actually has its shit together for once. Oh my God.
That'd be great.
Well, clearly CTO does not have its shit together.
Have they ever?
No.
No.
Former head can't talk to current head about an operation that seems super important. Like you killing it, like as you said, it was like copying killing Osama. Sorry.
Whoa. We're getting real political here all of a sudden.
Osama. I'm like, to find out the people that murdered him are being murdered, that'd be big news.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, it would be, but she can't tell the guy because he's potentially the one who supplied the information. Right?
Like, can't trust those moles.
Yeah.
I get it. It's just, that's what I'm just saying, CTU is in shambles.
Oh, definitely.
Even though it is the government.
It's always in shambles.
So, I would love to see just like a normal day at CTU where like everything kind of goes all right and they maybe crack a couple cases. And
well, I read something once that was like Jack Bauer's day after a season of 24. Like one of it was
a fan
like
fiction.
He's filling out paperwork for all the people he killed for like 2 hours.
That was just him in sweatpants just flipping through the channels all day. Because
he's like reading Eat, Pray, Love before he goes to bed.
Oh, man.
So I like the episode. I think the season's might probably going in a good direction, but it is way too similar to all 24. Like 24 was on for a long time. You gotta like differentiate a little bit, like you said before, like you brought up.
And like, as much as I'm excited they're bringing Tony back, like that's another sign they're like, what can we do? Oh, I know, let's bring back a character from the old series and make it more like that.
Yeah.
So one thing we got to bring up, so we talked about there's no president yet, is the can we have a crossover between this world and the Designated Survivor universe?
Oh, man.
Oh. And have President Tom Kirkman in the 24 Legacy universe.
That would get Sarkin real confusing. Oh, man.
Well, then we'd have to kill the senator, the mole, because he would have been at the White House.
That's right. Or he was in on that, too.
Maybe we could, you know, if we could, like, put him in that box that survives the White House blowing up. Spoilers.
I gotta catch up on Designated Survivor.
The White House.
I've only watched
the Capitol building. Sorry.
Did it remain good?
I don't know that it's ever been good.
Oh,
it's still I'm feeling it out stage for some reason. It's been so many episodes.
Chris, you were pretty in on Designated Survivor, right?
I like it, but I wouldn't call it like good. It's not bad. It's
a show you can watch.
It's a show.
Show on the television.
Yeah.
With Kiefer Sutherland, and I like Kiefer Sutherland.
High praise from Chris Lorenz.
Yeah, like,
I'm being a little critical here.
So I know that you guys hear this from me, but just for the audience, since we've kind of been in a while since we've been podcasting, like, my big problem with Designated Survivor is that, like, Kiefer never takes command of the situation. He's always just being, like, a huge bitch, and stuff just happens to him, and it's just like some bad thing happens, and he's like, "I guess I messed up doing the president thing again." And that's what the whole show is like. I'm waiting for him to turn into the badass because that's what you want out of him.
It's like, also kind of sitcom-y where like
a
thing comes up at the beginning of the episode and they solve it by the end of the episode. There's like a couple things that transfer between, but like,
yeah, it's
weird. It's not Serial.
It's definitely Serial.
It's definitely Serial, but it's like kind of like a Serial sitcom-y kind of vibe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's like it kind of decides. Feels like sometimes it can't decide whether it wants to be like 24 or The West Wing. I think. I don't know.
That's 100% how they floated the idea originally.
Sure, I'm sure. It's like, what if 24 meets The West Wing?
It's also kind of like they'll solve a problem and that problem just immediately fades. There's nothing like, oh, did I solve it right? Did I solve it wrong? Did we talk about it again? No, we're just going to not talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
there definitely has its like moments where like, oh, is she going to make it? Is she going to save the day? No, she gets hit by a car.
Oh.
She doesn't make it. Oh, no. There's moles everywhere. So like, there's mole watch in this, but there's serious mole watch.
There's lots of moles in Designated Survivor?
Oh, well, no spoilers.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
I saw like 3 or 4 episodes. I'm not caught up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's okay. I don't know.
I'll see if it gets renewed.
I like 24 better than that show, and I like The West Wing better than that show. So, I don't know.
Well, you just mentioned like two of the best TV shows of all time. So, like, ooh, I got to give Designated Survivor a little bit. It's like you watch the beginning of 24 season one and you're like,
sure,
you know, the show is okay, but it's not like it wasn't amazing. 24
season one was pretty good.
They're just like
from episode one, it was slow. There's a lot of things didn't correlate like correct.
There are so many new shows in 2016 that just that like really delivered, and like I was hoping Designated Survivor was gonna be better than it is. I think I don't know.
One of my things with Designated Survivor, there's lots of like little annoying things about it that I there's little things that it does I find annoying, and I feel like that's a sign I'm not into it, because if it was a show I was engaged in, I'd be like, I would like not really care.
Sure.
Like, it drove me crazy in the first episode that Kiefer doesn't seem to know what the Designated Survivor is, even though he's been in the cabinet forever.
Really?
Yeah, because like they call him up and he's like, "What's the designated? What do you mean Designated Survivor?" And then it was like as if like he didn't even.
They
know
just
what
have
it was.
To explain. I mean, it's weird that they had Kiefer ask about it in the show, but somebody has to explain the concept.
But they didn't explain the concept to him. They just made it seem like he didn't know what it was. Cut to something else.
Oh, geez.
And then it's like, why would they pick the guy who's about to get fired to be the Designated Survivor? That sounds like such a dumb idea. And like stuff like that was just like driving me crazy with the show.
Well, the reason you pick the guy who's about to be fired to be a Designated Survivor is because you pick the person who's like the least important cabinet member, because they don't get to go to the State of the Union. So you just put whoever you don't like the most. And then like that's going to be the guy that's just about to get fired.
That's what the show made it seem like. I don't know if that's actually how it works.
That, I mean, like, I think they kind of rotate around a little bit, but usually it goes to like one of the lesser cabinet members. Like you're not being like, "Hey, Secretary of State, like go hang on that other building."
Sure, it's definitely like agriculture. Like, or something.
If like if the president needs to point out, like, "I've got a big initiative about, you know, education or whatever," you're not gonna have the education secretary sitting somewhere else. You're
right.
Want them like nice front and center
for sure.
I mean, but if I want anyone sitting in another bunker, if anything goes down, I want the like secretary, like chief of state. Like I want.
Yeah.
I
that's
want
not
that
that's
guy.
Not how it's gonna happen though.
Yeah, but that's what the guy wants.
Because it's mostly just like it's just, I mean, it's just kind of not ceremonial, but like just, I mean, it's an unlikely thing that'll happen.
You know what?
And they kind of have to do it.
We should put Kiefer Sutherland with those guys just in case. You know, he'll be there ready to take control of the situation afterwards.
Is Kiefer Secretary of Housing and Urban Development in that show?
Yeah, he is for half the first episode.
Yeah. At the very beginning of the show, yeah. Yeah.
He was in that show.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, anything else we want to talk about this episode? We want to talk about predictions at all?
Did we talk about Kill of the Week? I don't know if there's a great Kill of the Week.
I'm going to give Kill of the Week to the wife.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. That's strong Kill of the Week.
I think getting rolled over by some bad
CGI. Another good one.
I was gonna say that one, Max. Damn
just
it.
By the slowly moving cylinder.
Yeah,
it's literally like that scene in Austin Powers where like he's driving that steamroller and he's just like waiting for it.
I think it's a little quicker than that. Come on. Yeah, I don't know if I could give it to any other ones. Maybe the beginning of that episode where the terrorist just like. Silencer shot to the head.
Oh, to the other ranger who was tied up. What about to the sister?
We don't really get to see. It was just like fade.
That's true.
We saw the guy. Like that's how this set the tone for this show.
Got it.
Was like, you know, you see that guy get shot in the head.
Sure, hell of a cold open.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no predictions. Dumb prediction.
I kind of wish they would make a 24 where like it wasn't just about like Islamic extremists. It seems like
to be fair, there are Russians or Chechnyans.
You know, every second season has to be about Islamic terrorists. So
yeah,
London one wasn't. It was Kat Stark and whatever her crew was.
Right.
So this one you knew had to.
I guess.
But this doesn't have. This is like a whole different show.
I also liked the credits. It was like based on the series 24 created by other people.
Yeah, you can tell it was based on the series. Which is a fascinating thing to think about because it is like because that assumes that 24. Didn't happen in this universe and is based on 24.
Well, no, right? Because like, Edgar Stiles.
No, I understand that, but like by saying it's based on it, then it
that
like,
would be
think
so
it
crazy if
it.
Like this took place in a universe where 24 was was a TV show.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, man, this is so much stuff's happening today. It's like that 24
like
TV
that show.
That would be great.
Very meta.
It'd be very meta.
All right, cool.
All right, I guess.
So it's a 12. This is a 12 episode season.
12
right?
episode season. Second episode is tomorrow night, Monday night.
Yeah, our podcast will be late for that. If so, don't look for it.
Yep.
Probably. Tuesday morning. We'll see.
So what's our predictions for time jump?
Ooh, the time jump. The infamous time
jump. Did they say there was a time jump this time?
That's like,
they said
they never say.
We don't know, so you have to make a prediction blind.
Wait. So the last season, 24, they said there was a time jump.
Yes.
Was that the first ever time jump?
Yes.
So.
Because instead of doing 12? 24 hours and 24 episodes, they did 24 hours and 12 episodes. And for people to know, so the time jump was the last commercial break.
Yeah.
They did 12 hours later just to do the little wrap up with all the characters.
Yeah.
So good.
That was great.
I'm going to go with no time jump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You know, it can't be called 24 unless there's 24 hours.
You're right. There's going to be.
So how many? When is the time jump? And for how long?
I think a very reasonable time would be like 2 a.m. Maybe there will be multiple time jumps.
So just to point out, this started at noon. So after 12 one-hour episodes, we don't make it to 2 a.m.
That is an excellent point. Maybe they fly over to London and then you know it's 2 a.m.
They find Cat Stark.
Yeah,
maybe they do a couple, like maybe they, you know, skip a couple hours during rush hour because it just takes a long time to travel around everywhere.
Sure. Yeah. DC traffic is killer.
I'm pretty sure they're going to ignore all of that because they ignored a lot of that today.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, I feel like instead of doing one 12-hour time jump, you could actually use this to do multiple time jumps to save yourself, like, oh, this thing's going to happen that probably would take a little bit of time. Let's just fast forward. But they didn't do that last time. So I think my first prediction is they're going to do the exact same thing again and do a 12-hour one in the last commercial break.
And that's a good safe bet.
It's
a
safe bet.
Yeah.
Besides Tony, who's the number one returning character you want to see in this season?
Oh, boy.
Chloe, 100%. Chloe.
Jack.
Big booty.
Big booty Boudreaux. They going to have that prison cam on?
Oh,
see, they need someone to come in to help with the senator's campaign who knows how to do the CTU and the political navigation.
Yeah.
There's only one guy for the job.
Only one guy for the job. Oh, man.
He is not going back ever.
I feel like I saw him in something recently.
Saw him in something recently.
I don't know. And we're like, it's Mark Boudreaux.
Way to go, guys. People are like at home. Like now they got
to
IMDb.
They're dying to see everything.
Big booty.
Next time you see Mark Boudreaux in something, you got to text me.
Definitely.
Boudreaux alert.
Maybe
we got to start podcasting once we see Mark Boudreaux and things.
Oh, boy.
We got to do the Mark Boudreaux update.
I did try to convince Harrison we should do a Damages podcast.
Just Damages? So Mark Boudreaux in our life. The only other thing I've seen with him in, I think, is Argo.
Right? Yeah, he's definitely an Argo.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't think I really notice what he's in. Like, especially pre that season of 24.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Like, before that season 24, I didn't know who
he
was.
Oh, get the fuck out. He's from my town in New Jersey.
Wow.
I think we discovered this.
Oh. Call him up. We got a personal connection. Bring him in.
Yo, hit him up on Twitter. See if he'll come on the podcast because you grew up in the same town.
Now that I think about this, I definitely discovered this before. This can't be the first time I looked up Mark Boudreaux on Wikipedia.
I don't think you mentioned him. You haven't.
Big Tate.
Told us on the podcast, though.
There's no way I have not raised this before.
But now we know where Mac, everyone knows where Max's hometown is.
Yep. On a side note, I was searching for Tate Donovan, but my keyboard corrected it to Taste Donovan.
Taste Donovan.
How does it taste, Max?
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what you saw him in recently?
I do not. It's probably not important.
It's not, but you brought it up. We can't leave people hanging.
He was in the OC.
Oh, yeah. That must have been it.
Is that what you were watching recently?
Nope. Okay.
Yeah, when we had that OC binge session last weekend, Max. Remember that?
Yeah. He was in Hercules.
Was he in Silence?
He's in The Man in the High Castle.
Who knows?
All right, guys. Do we have any plugs or anything else we want to talk about?
I don't think so.
All right. Harrison, you got any plugs?
You can follow me on Twitter @HarrisonHoffman.
Rob?
I haven't tweeted in forever, so no.
No Twitter plug.
Max?
My wit is not quick enough to come up with something funny.
Poor planning, Max. You can follow me on Twitter.
At Twitter.
At Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, why don't you shout over me some more?
Right, no. My Twitter name is... I didn't have enough time to come up with something witty.
That's not witty.
At... I didn't have enough time.
You can follow me on Twitter at the Chris Lorenz.
How do I spell that?
Really?
trying to stretch this podcast out.
Okay.
You can find us on Twitter at the DPPL.
Yep.
And facebook.com/the DPPL.
And if you guys like what you hear here, we also do another podcast called Who Put This On?
Yes. We're not very uniform. Scheduling those.
Subscribe to it. A new episode will pop in every now and then. It is what it is.
Listen to the backlog.
It's one each once in a while. A new one.
And coming this week, episode 2 at some point. See you guys later.
Bye-bye.